Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our health and well-being session as a part of Family Weekend. My name is April Overstreet. I'm the Interim Director of New Student Programs, and we appreciate you taking some time to be here with us today. Let me introduce my colleagues who'll be doing the presentation today. I am joined by Catherine Thrasher Carroll, who serves as the Mental Health Promotion Program Director in Cornell Health. Leva Swain, who works in the Office of Student Health Benefits, and Marla Love, who serves as the Robert W. and Elizabeth C. Staley Dean of Students. Thank you all for being here today. They're going to address many different aspects of health and well-being for our Cornell students, and hopefully be able to answer some of the questions that you may have today. So we'll begin with Catherine. Thank you for being here.
All right, well, thank you, April, and hello, and welcome, Cornell families and parents. My name is Catherine Thrasher Carroll. I'm the Mental Health Promotion Program Director from Cornell Health, and it's really my pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. Part of what I get to do in my role is really support undergraduate, graduate, and professional students in their ability to thrive and not just survive during their time here at Cornell. I am the mother of one recent college graduate, and I have another daughter who's in her senior year of college. So I'm well acquainted with some of the kinds of struggles related to health and well-being that many college students face. So our panel presentation today will provide you with information on the support that your student can expect from Cornell Health. We'll review some tips on kind of distance parenting when health concerns arise. And there will also be an opportunity for discussion about how you can partner with us to build your students' resilience and ability to thrive here at Cornell. So let me see. That isn't working. Let me look at, I'm not sure. Let's see why this is a, oh, you know what? I think you, nope. Actually, this one was where, I don't need the slides. I can speak to you without them, but sometimes it's really nice to have the visual representation. So I'm going to still speak from the microphone, though. So Cornell Health is located on Central Campus on Ho Plaza. It's kind of near the clock tower and near the campus store. And we are the central hub for your students' physical and mental health needs and their well-being. We provide an array of extensive clinical services as well as supporting campus population-level health initiatives. As parents, family members, and guardians, you have provided for your students' health and well-being up to this point, and you've prepared them to take on much of this responsibility for themselves as they move into adulthood. We at Cornell Health are here to partner with your student to help them live well and learn well. Can I take this out while you work on that? Okay. So we have 200 plus staff members in Cornell Health, believe it or not, and our healthcare providers include physicians, nurses, counselors and psychiatrists, physical therapists, nutritionists, pharmacists, and other public health specialists like myself. Your student can actually see a listing of our staff, see their photos, and read short biographies when they are perhaps looking for a good fit for themselves, when they want to actually seek physical or mental health support. We recognize students as whole persons with many dimensions of well-being and multiple intersecting identities. And we value the diversity of our patients and clients and continually work toward inclusivity, cultural competence, and anti-racism as a staff. At Cornell, we take a community-based public health approach to mental health. And what this means, thank you. Let's see. There's our staff. You want to see a few pictures of our staff. But what this means is that every member of the campus community has a potential role to play in supporting the mental health and well-being of our students. We're guided by this mental health framework that you see, and this framework represents best practices known in the field of higher ed and are advocated by the Jed Foundation, the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, and the Equity and Mental Health Framework from the Steve Fund. And these are all national organizations that promote and support student mental health, college student mental health. This framework provides opportunities for every member of our community to help shape a more mentally healthy campus culture. There are strategic initiatives in each of these seven areas, and that can help Cornell students thrive, that can help them understand to seek help when needed, and to let them know that we provide services across the continuum of mental health support. So in other words, this framework focuses on prevention, early intervention, and treatment. And it was also the bedrock of Cornell's University Mental Health Review, charged in 2018 by Cornell President Pollack, conducted in 2019, and then finalized in 2020 with a robust report that made 130 recommendations to help create an even more caring culture of well-being at Cornell. Importantly, this report highlights the relative impacts of the academic environment, the campus community, and clinical services on student mental health and well-being. And currently, implementation of some of these recommendations are already underway. So most college students enter college with a preconceived idea or notion of what college life will be like. And this may include images of college life from popular culture and may not actually be based in reality. Our expectations affect our health and well-being. And so it's really important to remind your student that it's natural to feel out of place for a while when you're in a new place. Remind students that they may, if they're talking to you as if they feel like they're now a small fish in a big pond, remind them that this is part of the natural process of challenges that one experiences in new ways in a new place, such as college, and help set the expectation that you believe in them, that they're capable, and that adapting to this new place, it takes time. Even students who've been on campus for a year or two oftentimes still measure their reality against inaccurate portrayals of college life within popular culture. And so our programming for incoming students especially, but for all students throughout their time here, is designed to counter these kinds of inaccurate misperceptions by sharing real data related to the actual behaviors of Cornell students and setting expectations for campus engagement. So for example, all incoming students receive an orientation program about the natural ups and downs of college life. This is called, this program is called Real Students, Real Stories, and it includes topics like imposter syndrome, culture shock, looking for friends, and there are actual Cornellians who have graduated and some who are current students who share what they've learned over time about how to navigate the social scene at Cornell. And additionally, all incoming students are required to complete an alcohol education course in which they learn that only half of students have ever consumed alcohol before coming to Cornell, and that a third remain non-drinkers while at Cornell. And this is demonstrated by our campus data. We believe in having open dialogue with students about these kinds of tough topics that can happen at any time during their journey through Cornell. And our experience is that most Cornell students rise to the occasion. They will adapt over time with support, both from us and from you. So the COVID pandemic has placed increased strain on everyone, and I know I don't need to tell you this, you are also experiencing this. But this increased strain includes impacts on mental health and well-being. And this comes from an increased sense of isolation and a hunger for connection that we've been hearing from our students. Many of us have experienced economic challenges. Many of us have experienced impacts of racial violence and xenophobia or systemic racism. And all of us have experienced an increased exposure to grief and loss. And this includes grief and loss of experiences as well. So we have developed some web pages on the Cornell Health website, and they're entitled Coping During COVID. And these provide a wide range of resources for students who may be struggling with emotional distress and challenges related to the ongoing nature of COVID. So Cornell Health provides services to support your students' mental health and well-being through mental health promotion workshops and trainings, primary care medical support, counseling, and psychological services, which includes not only individual and group counseling, but also Let's Talk drop-in consultations and psychiatry for medication management. We are also working with a national telehealth partner to augment the individual counseling services offered by CAPS. Here's what your students can expect. When a student reaches out to CAPS for help, they will talk with one of our CAPS counselors in less than a week to explore their needs, learn about the wide variety of services available, and together they will make a plan for next steps. Our goal is to connect the student to the right level of care, whether that's individual therapy, group therapy, psychiatry, or other kinds of resources, non-clinical resources on campus that might be of benefit. For our clinical services, it is our goal to have students get their next visit within 2 weeks. We are also using local and national providers to help meet students' mental health medication needs. And as always, students with urgent needs will be connected to crisis resources that will include our own urgent care counselors and our 24/7 availability of a licensed counselor by phone. Our medical services include what you might expect from your own medical services and insurance. And of course, we think of physical and mental health as interrelated. So mental health concerns can sometimes manifest physically, such as a stomach ache when we're feeling anxious. And so similarly, addressing physical ailments can bolster a student's feelings of well-being. Cornell Health provides primary and specialty care for a variety of student health concerns. And we also provide a wide variety of self-care guides that can empower students to learn how to manage a variety of common, low-level, but impactful medical concerns, including when they might have a cold or fever or nausea or vomiting, and how to recognize when it's time to seek professional care. So having these kinds of instructions on these topics can actually reduce the stress that may accompany feeling sick while away from home. Student Disability Services is a department within Cornell Health, and they work in partnership with students, with faculty, and staff to ensure all aspects of student and campus and academic life, are accessible, are equitable, and inclusive of students with disabilities and chronic health conditions. Last year, more than 4,000 undergraduate, graduate, and professional students were registered with Student Disability Services. SDS promotes a social justice approach to proactively identify and remove disability-related barriers. Cornell students live and learn with all kinds of permanent and temporary disabilities, including medical and mental health conditions, ADHD, sensory disabilities, mobility conditions, and more. At SDS, a student's disability experience is not viewed in medicalized terms. Rather, it is seen as a positive part of both the student's identity and our diverse campus. We recognize that disability documentation comes in a variety of forms, depending on a student's background and their lived experience. And we invite students to register with our office, whether they have formal documentation or not, and at any point in their Cornell career, even if they don't know exactly when they'll need specific accommodations. So as I mentioned earlier, the pandemic continues to influence student health and well-being. And I'd like to now share a little bit of information about Cornell's pandemic-related public health measures. So we continue to monitor COVID-19 pandemic closely and to adjust our approach as indicated by our data and the evolving body of scientific knowledge. As we have done throughout the pandemic, we will continue to surveillance test to find cases early. We will do case isolation to reduce the spread and contact tracing to identify those at risk of exposure. I hope that you're aware that we have a very highly vaccinated population here at Cornell. However, because vaccinated people can still get infected and transmit the virus to others, indoor masking is still required in all Cornell buildings at this time, regardless of a person's vaccination status. And the very small number of people on campus who are unvaccinated are also required to mask outdoors when they can't maintain 6 feet of distance from others. We were able to keep the COVID case count very low last year because students, faculty, and staff all pitched in to do their part. And so I ask you today that you remind your student to do whatever they can to help keep our campus as COVID-free as possible. Okay, I just have a couple more things to say before I turn it over to my colleague. Let's see. So how can your student see someone at Cornell Health? Well, most of our services require an appointment, and your student can call us during business hours. And if you don't already have the Cornell Health phone number in your cell phone, I invite you to take it out right now and add it into your contacts. I think we're going to have to, in New York, we're going to have to start putting a 1 in front of the number. So it's 1-607-255-5155. Some appointments can also be scheduled online through your student's secure patient portal called My Cornell Health. However, if your student has an urgent health concern, they should always call us, as we can typically arrange for a visit the same or the next day. All visits at Cornell Health are confidential, meaning that a student's health information and whatever they discuss with their provider will not be shared with anyone outside of their healthcare team unless the student takes action. In order for us to share your student's health information with you, this is the action your student must take. They must complete an authorization release form, release of health records, and that's available on our Cornell Health website, and then they must submit that to the health records department. If you have concerns about your student's health, encourage them to reach out to us. If you have a very serious concern, however, you can call us at Cornell Health to be connected with one of our staff members. So what about the cost for services at Cornell Health? Well, we've worked really hard to create equitable access. And while some of our services at Cornell Health have no charge, including preventative medical visits, Let's Talk consultations, group counseling, and the first CAPS appointments that help connect a student with the appropriate mental health resource, other visits at Cornell Health typically have a $10 copay, and this includes medical visits, individual counseling, and psychiatry visits. We will bill a student's insurance plan as the primary payer for medical and psychiatry services, but not for counseling. And depending on your student's insurance plan, additional charges may apply for some lab tests, pharmacy, travel medicine, and most immunizations other than the COVID-19 vaccine and the flu vaccine, which do not have an out-of-pocket cost. My colleague, Leba Meyer-Swain, will be telling you more about Cornell's student health plans and how they support student health and well-being in just a moment. However, before ending my portion of this presentation, I would like to share with you just a few tips for supporting your students' well-being while they are here at Cornell. So the Division of Student and Campus Life, which includes Cornell Health, offers many, many services and programs designed to support your students' health and well-being. However, your ongoing coaching from the sidelines will continue to be very important throughout the academic year. So here are a few messages we'd be grateful to you for reinforcing. Encourage your student to develop a foundation of self-care, whatever that means for them, sleeping well, fueling their bodies, trying to get exercise or movement most days, which is not hard on this campus, as I'm sure you know. It's pretty hilly and it's pretty spread out. So we want students to be giving themselves credit for that each day. Remind your student or ask your student about their time management strategy. And if they don't have a time management strategy, encourage them to see someone at the Learning Strategy Center. They have some experts there who can help with that. We really know that de-stressing in healthy ways can help your students to thrive. And so this might include attending one of our Let's Meditate sessions, which are 20-minute guided mindfulness meditations, spending time in the Cornell Botanic Gardens out in nature, or joining a club to explore a new interest. And then cultivating positive, supportive friendships and other social connections is one of the best ways for your student to build and maintain their resilience or their ability to bounce back in the face of challenge or adversity. And this is key to academic and life success. And then finally, encourage your student to ask for help when needed. It is actually a sign of strength and intelligence to get support rather than to suffer in silence. And Cornell is a caring community with many, many resources. So finally, I want to point out that we have developed and launched a new kind of one-stop shop website for anything and everything mental health here at Cornell. So this new website, you can find it, mentalhealth.cornell.edu. And this was one of the recommendations from that mental health review that I mentioned earlier. And we invite you to spend some time checking out this site. There are special pages specifically for parents and families. And we want you to familiarize yourself with the information here so that you can refer your student to this website as well. Thank you again for your time today. I wish you and your student a really, really great year here at Cornell. And now I'll pass the mic over to my colleague, Leba Meyer-Swain. Thank you.
Hello and good afternoon. Thank you so much for being here with us today. My name is Leba Meyer-Swain. I'm the director of the Office of Student Health Benefits. At the Office of Student Health Benefits, we serve our purpose is to support all students having health insurance, as well as enabling students to find appropriate resources for medical and mental health services, and also to improve and continue to learn about help-seeking behaviors. The Office of Student Health Benefits resides within the Compliance and Risk Services Division at Cornell University. And one of the functions that we also serve is to support the Student Health Benefit Advisory Committee. This is a group, a committee group on campus wherein any student can participate and learn about health benefits, how healthcare is delivered within the United States, how we make healthcare decisions here at Cornell, and how we foster and promote access to equitable care. There are a couple of functions that the Office of Student Health Benefits oversees in our attempt to make sure all students have access to health insurance. One of those is through the confirm or waiver process. And this is something that happens at the beginning of each academic year. So congratulations, y'all have crossed through the other side of that and you're not dealing with this anymore. But this is a process that happens annually. So next summer, if you are a student, has their private insurance here at Cornell, once again, you'll log into the Gallagher website and say, yep, we're still carrying our health insurance information. You'll check to make sure that that's accurate. One thing that does happen in the next couple of months is that because for most employers in the November-December timeframe is open enrollment as well as on the exchanges. So health benefits could be changing for various employers. And we rerun student waivers in January to make sure that their coverage is still active and also maintain the expectation that all students have access to health care. For those students who are on the student health plan, this is actually a self-funded health insurance plan that Cornell University operates only for students. We partner with three organizations in the delivery of those services. Aetna for the medical providers and medical network, Optum for prescription coverage, and then Teladoc for telehealth services. We've chosen Aetna specifically because it's a wide national network, and with Cornell's encouragement that students should all have an abroad experience, be it abroad internationally or abroad within the United States, having medical care and access to those resources that are supported in a vast way is important to fulfilling that mission. One of the other things about the health plan is that for every dollar in premium that's collected, 90 cents is spent on medical care. We do this so that when students actually go to a provider's office, they have a low copay or coinsurance to pay after that visit, ensuring that they're able to get the care that they need and deserve. The American College of Healthcare Executives has consistently shown, as well as the the College Health Association. I'm like, what's the other? ACHA. College Health Association shows that when copays are higher for student populations in particular, they're more likely to defer or avoid care. So we have a higher premium in order to avoid students delaying or deferring care at time of services. Should a student seek services while international or abroad, we also offer a 90% reimbursement on those medical expenses. We have a very interesting component of the health plan that is actually a partnership with New York State Department of Health. And this is an area where we're able to encourage for students from different economic backgrounds are able to achieve the same equitable access to health care. And we have a student health plan in lieu of Medicaid called SHIP Plus, where any Medicaid-eligible student can have access to the same nationwide providers as any other student on campus and achieve health equity in that regard. In the SHIP Plus program, New York State Department of Health pays a premium for those students, just as they would for any Medicaid product. So in addition to administering the waiver process and then the two health plans that we sponsor, the Office of Student Health Benefits also provides access to optional dental and vision services for any Cornell student. So you don't have to be on the health plan in order to have access to these services. We've partnered with MetLife for our dental services and VSP for our vision services. access to these providers are readily accessible in the Ithaca area, Ithaca and surrounding areas. So it's been a good partnership thus far. We have an extremely extensive website, studenthealthbenefits.cornell.edu. We have a lot of information about the timeline of waivers, of billing if your student is on the health plan, how to get your ID card, how to log into the Aetna network or the Optum network. So again, a vast array of resources there, and all in effort to ensure that your students have access to care and are able to maintain that successfully throughout the year. I'm going to turn it over to Dean Marla Love in just a moment to also talk about how Dean of Students helps to support health and well-being here at Cornell University. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Good afternoon. I'm super excited to be here. I've worked in higher education, I don't know, 15, 16 years, and Family Weekend is always one of those fun, special moments on a campus where you get to come back and see sort of the growth of your child and the ways in which just over these few months things have changed in their lives, and so it's always exciting. It brings a new energy to this campus. As mentioned, I'm Marla Love. I am the Robert W. and Elizabeth C. Staley Dean of Students. I'm super excited to be able to support your students in a multiple of ways and work with a really great cast and group of colleagues and staff members to really help think about ways that students can feel a sense of belonging and have a transformative experience outside of the classroom here at Cornell. So this is a picture of Willard Street Hall. This is where my office is. I lead a group, and we're a group of staff members in student and campus life. We're housed across campus in five different buildings in Willard Street Hall, which you see here, Annabelle Taylor, 626 Thurston, Day Hall, and the Pell Commons on North Campus. And we're a team that really uses a team approach and have a number of different areas of expertise to really work towards the way in which wellness is achieved through inclusion, identity development, support, advocacy, and accountability. And really, when we talk about belonging, a lot of this is around sort of, as Catherine sort of referenced, sort of this idea of thriving. We want students to feel a complete engagement and involvement with the campus, to really look at their experience from semester to semester, and when they graduate, with a sense of, wow, I really had an amazing, positive experience. I felt like this institution was mine. I owned my experience. I felt involved. I felt seen. I felt respected and heard. And so we really work to push push that sense of belonging forward through our activities. This is a bit of who we are within the Dean of Students Office, our Care and Crisis Services team, and I'll talk a little bit about that soon. Our Community Response Team, the Asian American Center, First Gen and Low Income Student Support, the LGBT Resource Center, Multicultural Student Leadership and Empowerment, the Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making, the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards, Undocumented and DACA Student Support, and the Women's Resource Center. Together, we really think about the student experience and transformative student experience, meeting students where they are, helping them to make connections through identity groups, through spirituality, to really think about who they are, what communities they belong to, what's their sense of, what's their purpose, how do they make meaning of these experiences. Within all of these sorts of units, we also do some of the following things. Out of the Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making, this is where we also have our campus ministers and spiritual advisors, and so there are spiritual services and prayer times and spaces, as well as care groups that really think about spirituality in a very broad way, in addition to some other programming. Also out of our area, we really think about students experience around bias, and so two of my team members lead the bias assessment and review team to offer support to students who might experience bias in this campus community. Catherine talked about sort of experiencing racism and xenophobia and grief and loss, and there's a lot that plays into that around bias, and so we do some work there as well. We have conflict coaching and mediation, so really helping students navigate some of those interpersonal conflicts, whether that be with friends, in their residence hall, or within a student organization. And probably one of the bigger areas that we really work with, that really partners well with units within Cornell Health, is our care and crisis team. For those of you who might have another child or have seen someone go through college on another college campus, they might call this the on-call dean process, in which someone is responsive by phone to meet sort of a student's needs if there's an emergency or a distressing situation. We have a staff member that we call a crisis manager that can be reached through dispatch at CUPD in case a student has to be transported to a hospital, has a concussion and needs help to navigate sort of academic resources, needs to figure out and determine what's the best way to work with their faculty should they lose a family member and need to go home for an emergency. We really support students in both everyday crisis and emergency situations, really encouraging the holistic growth and development of each student. And as I mentioned before, belonging, which also includes accountability through conduct and decision making. The other thing before I sort of flip to the next slide, our community response team is a new resource that is housed on North Campus and works closely with our on-campus housing communities overnight. And so they're also connected with our crisis service, and students can go to Appel to meet with them, to drop in, or sometimes a referral from an RA or a concerned student in case they're experiencing a crisis or a distressing moment. They can meet with that person to meet with one of our community response coordinators to talk through and navigate the institution. And I think some of that is really what the Dean of Students' Office does, is to really help students have a touch point and a resource to help them know, which resource do I need to reach out to? Particularly if it's not as clear as, hey, I have a headache or a migraine or a stomach ache, and so I know to go to Cornell Health. If they're really just feeling challenged, maybe feeling a bit of anxiety, but don't necessarily think that they need to see a therapist, but really want to talk through, what are my resources, what are my options, the office and my team can be a really great support in that area. So any challenge, there are many resources. We recognize that there may well be occasions in which your students benefit from additional support in meeting unforeseen challenges. Part of college life is not just the achievements, but it's also the moments of challenge, the moments of difficulty, and Catherine talked about the resiliency. And so some of that is knowing to reach out, to either be proactive or in the moment to say, I need some additional support and someone to help guide me to take the next steps or to figure out what the next steps are. And so we offer additional support in meeting unforeseen circumstances while your student is at Cornell. We have many offices, on-campus services and organizations in almost every corner of this campus that offer health, wellness assistance, support, intervention, reporting, and advocacy. We don't want your student to feel alone. We want them to know that we are here, staffed, getting paid to be of support and to help and to offer that help and to meet them where they are and to have the conversations that will help get them back over a hard, difficult moment, and also to be here and cheerlead with them when things are amazing as well. We love those opportunities too, but sometimes the most growth happens from a hard spot. As I mentioned, within the Dean of Students' Office, outside of the Care and Crisis Services team, we also have a care team that meets within the Dean of Students' Office and with partners across campus to help guide students to appropriate resources when needed, when we notice that there's a really challenging moment. So there are some good places to get information related to health and well-being, and we've talked about a couple of them, the new website, thementalhealth.cornell.edu. And here are some other options, the Parent and Family Newsletter from Cornell. I know that one will be dropping soon. Official university messages, you can follow Cornell Student Life on Facebook or on Instagram. There are often moments where myself and Ryan Lombardi, the VP of Student and Campus Life, as well as other colleagues from around Student and Campus Life, hold forums. Those are great opportunities to stay engaged and informed on the things that are happening in our areas and ways that you can be a cheerleader and support to your student. I would say there's a great note here that says just because the social media page says it's Cornell doesn't necessarily mean it's an accurate source, but these are some really great places to start to learn about what's happening on campus, ways that your student can engage, ways that your student can get tied in and plugged in, and where's in areas where they can get support and help. Catherine talked about several resources around time management and academic support and emotional support, and I think those are great for you to know, particularly in moments where it's high stress for our students on campus, exam time, you know, thinking about where they're going to live next year, thinking about traveling abroad, thinking about some of just the hard things that happen in college. And then for those unforeseen moments where you didn't expect this to be an issue or a bump or a hill for your student, and they need some additional support. And I know from my own experience as a college student, you know, eons ago now, and also from having worked with thousands upon thousands of college students, that sometimes this information is like, hey, have you thought about checking this out? Or I heard the dean of students talk about just going to her office and meeting with her or sending her an email and connecting to ask about some of these things goes a long way, and goes a long way of you knowing that there are resources available without necessarily saying, go do this, here's the resource, make an appointment. I just encourage you to stay informed and engaged, and also continue to keep your eye out for the many resources that we offer. We're gonna open it up to questions in a second, but I just wanted to say we're all in this together. This mental health framework for Cornell not only is just tied to Cornell Health, but really are some values that we wanna live out throughout all parts of student and campus life to best help your student. This wheel reflects key strategies to help students thrive. It takes everyone's help, yours, your students, and that of the staff, faculty, and alumni to make Cornell a caring community. And we really strive to be that. And we really work together as one Cornell to make this experience amazing for your students and to meet them in moments of great success and to meet them in moments of slight challenge and growth. Thank you for taking the time to explore the big picture with us today. We hope that you're leaving with a great sense of the services and strategies that are available to your students throughout their time at Cornell, and a better understanding of our resources and our offices and faces that are here to really be in the corner of your student. And I will turn it over to April, or I can actually facilitate the questions if you're okay with that, April. Perfect. Alrighty, well, if you have some questions, we will be around for a little bit to answer those questions. Feel free to come on down and chat with us. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your attentiveness. We hope that you have a great weekend. We hope that you get the great quality time with your child to see, or your student, to see the way that they've grown over the last couple of months. Have a great afternoon.